Shall we start with our reading for the day?
Yes, please.
We might all get to center after that fluster of technology. At least I will. So here it is. G.K. Chesterton was a Catholic writer who wrote the delightful Father Brown Mysteries and a beautiful book on St. Francis of Assisi. It may have been St. Francis's life that inspired Chesterton to write, "Loving means to love that which is unlovable, or it is no virtue at all. Forgiving means to pardon the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. And hoping means to hope when things are hopeless. This is what the practice of meditation enables you to do." Shall I read it again, Terry?
Yeah, well, and just to be clear, that whole passage comes from Eknath Eshwan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Loving means to love that. Loving means to love that which is unlovable, or it is no virtue at all. Forgiving means to pardon the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable, and hoping means to hope when things are hopeless.
That's what meditation will do for us?
That's what meditation will do for us.
All right.
It is such an interestingly challenging passage, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And for people to know, we were talking about another one this morning that was by Aldous Huxley. In which basically he was laying out for us how our difficulties are ours, and it is up to us to find our way out of them. So the way we often talk about it, our spiritual challenges are our best opportunity to choose the unconditional, to wake up and in suffering. And we can either lament the fact that they are ours, or we can realize that they are for us and then look to see how we might best use them to end suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and what I received from that is there is suffering, and innocence suffers is one of the facts of existence, because ego exists. And so how do we find it in ourselves to accept that the ego exists and move to these places of love and hope and all of those things despite that, and yet not given to quietism or apathy? Because that's not what the other option is in acceptance.
Yes. None of our spiritual heroes chose quietism or apathy. Right? It's how to choose what we choose with unconditional love. How to work for what we feel is good and important from a place of unconditional love. All right, so you got anybody else out there?
Yes. Shall I bring them on? And I just wanted to say, I'll bring them on. Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Well, I am terrifically grateful, as others have expressed our list yesterday, for having these calls in this difficult and challenging time. And I wanted to sort of zero in for what I'm looking at as far as process and the whole thing of having a very strong sense, you know, whether it's through meditation, quiet times, and so forth, of needing to be really clear on the stand of that I'm taking. And when I say that, I think of it more of a stand for life, for what this practice represents, what I want this life to represent. And so the process of where the energy goes when there is this strong sense of action is needed. So just if you could talk to that. Are you there?
I am. Sherry, are you? She might have gotten muted.
There I am. It's one of those helpless little moments where I'm muted, and saying I'm muted doesn't help.
Speaks to where the action has to be, right, Sherry?
Right. Yes.
Such a metaphor.
So yes, Jan, I know exactly what you mean from my own experience. And in fact, I was just looking at that this morning. And one of the things that I take great comfort in personally is that nothing is any different. And people are going to get so sick and tired of me saying that, but it's really true. Nothing is different. Nothing was different on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning for anybody, whether, you know, you're person one, in quotes, or you're person lost. Nothing is any different for any of us. And so with that in mind, trying to find that balance when what gets mixed together is fear, anxiety, frustration, disappointment, and urgency.
Yes.
Right? Or even wild enthusiasm, excitement, and urgency, right? Because it can be on either side of the continuum, of the duality. When ego takes the reins, we're in trouble.
Right.
And yes. So, yes, how do we sit still in the same way that we've always been required to do until life drops in whatever is needed? Whether that's it's time to move, time to take action, or time to wait and just pay attention.
Yes. And I guess what I keep going back to for myself is, you know, again, I probably slaughtered the story, but with Gandhi, and, you know, everyone kept coming to him. This was before the Salt March, and, you know, what are we going to do? What do we do? And he said, I'm not sure. I don't know yet. And, you know, at least 30 days, I forget, it was a very long time before it came to him what the action might be. And mm-hmm. I just think, okay, that's the process. That's the process, to wait, to ask life for, or to just be available to life for whatever is needed. And there's nothing that's changed, and yet it feels like there is the, wherever I go, everyone's asking, what do we do? How, you know, that we can't just sit back. And so that without urgency to be waiting for life to, you know, drop in.
Which, again, and again, Jan, what you're pointing at is so important, because we were always waiting for direction. There was always something that we could be doing if we chose to.
Yep.
Right? We might be concerned about something like world hunger, and yet how many of us on a daily basis do anything to address an issue like that? You know, we might be concerned about the number of children in this country who don't have health care or who are living below the poverty line, and yet on a daily basis, what have we done to address those issues? So with that passage I was referring to earlier, and Ashwini kind of elucidated about innocent suffering, this is such a great opportunity for all of us to look at what our responsibility is, right? Not self-hate, not blame, not, because once again, we've never gone down that road. We have. but we knew it wasn't the right road to be going down, right? So again, nothing is different. We just look at the, now what have I been taking responsibility for? Where has my energy gone? What have I taken a stand for? Well, okay, not what I would have chosen. You know, if somebody were looking for, okay, we're going to divide everybody up, those who are responsible for the state of the world, those who have been kind of passively ignoring or actively destructive, and those who have been actively contributing to the well-being of all, you know, which side of the line would I fall on? And I without any self-hate, I know that that I could have been doing more for my heart than I was.
What I also heard in what you said before that is, nothing different. Continue, you know, to continue looking, continue going down the path, whatever the heart's leading to, but also not to fall into that urgency that the times seem to be pushing toward the outside world, that not just to do it as we've always done it, to be waiting for that directive on
and,
the path.
And to know that we're in for the long haul.
Yes.
Right? It's not just, oh, my God, we've got to do something. And then we all run around in a big panic and we dissipate a bunch of energy. And then whatever happens, you know, the next thing, that we lose interest. We get all involved in our own lives again. We forget all about this because, well, you know, it's either worse than we thought and we're hopeless, or it's not as bad as we thought, so what the heck. But as conditioned human beings, we know that ability to get all riled up over something and then just forget about it.
Yeah.
And for ourselves, right? For people who do practice, we see it in ourselves. Something happens and I go, oh my God, you know, I've got to start recording. Listen, I've got to admit, I really do need to. I need to get back to center here. I need to get back on track. And then I feel better. And it just slides away. So I don't know if you ran into this chap. I have no idea what's going around, you know, the internet or that sort of thing. But years ago, I met a fellow at Social Venture Network, as a matter of fact, who was there because he was kind of the architect of the green collar movement, where he was hoping that greening America would result in employment for underemployed people, mostly people of color and that sort of thing. And his name is Van Jones. And he's a great guy in my world. He's a great guy. And he put out a video, I think, on the day or a couple of days after the election that I would encourage everybody to watch. Just because it speaks to exactly what we're talking about today, you know, the how not to get urgent, how not to lose focus, and so I think you would enjoy it, Jan. It's so Van Jones, and it's available on YouTube. I just think he said one thing out in it that really touched me, and that was kind of connecting the upset that a lot of people are feeling with the love that people feel for one another. And that to me, that's one I sort of cling to through times like this, that this upset is because we care. And if we can keep hold of that, you know, if we can, as we were talking about yesterday, you know, if we can hold on to the motivation here is love. And if we can stick with the love and keep choosing the love, then, you know, urgently loving might not be a bad thing. You know? Because then you're just kind of loving everything around you because you're kind of urgent to love. And that might be a good use of urgency.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I want to leave time for other folks, but thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. And you know, Sherry, it's just such a conditioned assumption that loving is not an act.
Yeah. Right. Oh, what a great point.
That action implies striking out against something as opposed to loving something. And, and from that, love and action are separate.
We would never want them to be separate, but your point is loving is an action and might just be the best action we can take, and especially if we let all other action flow from that initial action.
Yes. Yes, because it seems that the conditioned impulse is to act against someone or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting place to look.
Yeah.
Because to me, when circumstances become challenging, the call to action is an escalation of love, of loving. And conditioning would have...
Yes. Oh, what a great point. What a great point that's what we're being called to right now. Love more. Love the things you love more.
Yeah.
Huh. That's very good.
Okay, here's our next caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live in the air.
This is
Andrea. Please introduce yourself.
Hello.
Hey, Andrea.
Andrea, hi.
Hi. I guess what I'm struggling with is it's kind of been hard to focus. So, like yesterday, I have been doing the practice, and I've been, doing things that take care of me, as well as, you know, like working out, and I meditated for an hour yesterday, and... I guess what I noticed is just that the mind keeps going, and with, you know, horror scenarios. And so that's one thing I'm noticing. And then the other thing is that I guess I'm finding it hard to, I suppose, so in the past I've noticed that watching the news and listening to the news is very toxic, and I've pretty much just try to focus on my own life. And I don't know, I guess I'm struggling with, is that the quote the right thing to do or not?
Well, a couple of things about that. The first one is, I would really encourage everybody not to watch the news, and that's kind of ever. Just ever, you know, if you can find if you want to know what's going on, then be super selective about where you're getting your information. So not in quotes news as entertainment or news.
No, but
I don't
watch it. I mainly, you know, I'll read the paper on the internet or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and now might not be the time to do that.
Right.
Yeah, so now might not be the time to do that. And the other thing about that, yes, the working out, the meditating, those kinds of things. But if there's a lot of extra energy, then let's put it into something that we feel really good about. Let's find a place where we can assist in something that's important to us. So that, you know, I often talk about when we're practicing, we do gain more energy. Awareness practice brings energy. And that system, again, has always been there attempting to suck that life force out. So, again, it's not new, right? We know that when something traumatic happens to a person, that negative ego system comes in for the kill. It just does. So we can't be surprised that that's happening now. We could expect that. All right. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And so if you have extra energy, instead of hoping that that system won't gobble it up and take you into awful places, look around at what's, what you would like to contribute to. And then take that energy and contribute and just live in a conversation of all of the good things that there are in the world and your ability to participate in those and to contribute to those and let to the best of your ability, okay, because it is hard in times that are more challenging. It's hard to maintain the focus. So to the best of your ability, keep that focus on what lights you up.
Yeah, I you know what, I want to say I'm really grateful for you and the practice and everybody and for doing these calls. I really am. And I was just wondering, are these calls being recorded? Can we listen to them?
Yes, they are. Go ahead, Ashwini.
They're actually available on the Living Compassion website. Yesterday's call was posted, and we will send out, I wish I had the, at the end of the call I can tell you what the URL is, but they are on our website. I will find out and let you know.
Thank you, Ashwini. This whole thing, it was so spontaneous. It was one of those, how about doing that? And so we agreed that we would do it, and then the technology and the details are always a lot more than one thinks there will be in the enthusiasm of, oh, yes, let's do that.
Yeah, but you're doing it, and I'm really grateful, and I'm still practicing as much as I can. It's more challenging to practice, but I'm still doing it. I'm showing up, so.
Yeah, good. And again, these are the times, right? These are the times that we practice for, and so that gratitude can be a great comfort comfort to us as well. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
And Sherry, it's livingcompassion.org/seeing with the eyes of love. And there's a dash between those words. And if you go to the bottom
seeing,
of the page, there's a link.
Seeing-with-the-love.
Eyes-of-love-.
Seeing
recording.
With the eyes of love. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so
we have
time for one more caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Here you go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Estella in New Jersey.
Hello, Estella.
Hi, Estella.
Hello, I'm so happy that you guys are doing this, and it's unfortunate because people are feeling negatively, but I never get to connect with you on Tuesday night, so it's such a good opportunity for me.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. So, Sherry, what's come up for me through this, and I don't think it's really been mentioned yet, is the severe disappointment I felt about not having a woman still in that position. And however anyone felt about her, that was a significant thing to me. And I have a young daughter who, of course, I took with me to the polls. And I didn't realize how wrapped up I was in that idea until it didn't happen. And I'm waking up in the middle of the night with this just disappointment that not only is that not happening, but the person that was chosen instead seems so negative towards women. And it's really breaking my heart, honestly.
Yes. and it's a great concern, right? Which is why, of course, so many people are disappointed that the list of people who are less safe than they were just a few short days ago is long. And women are certainly in that list. Now, again, nothing has really changed, okay?
Right.
Women being raped on college campuses, rape charges being dismissed. We still don't make the same amount of money for the same work that men do. We still don't have equal rights, okay?
Right.
So in that regard, we I think, do have to look once again at, well, how important was this to me before it became so so clear where things stand? And so perhaps, of course, from a place of caring about women, all women, we think, right? All women, because so many women are involved in the victims of human trafficking and prostitution and just so many things. So many women are in prison because they were involved with men who were involved with drugs, you know, that kind of thing. So not to get too out there political, but these things were always the case. It's just that as privileged people, we didn't experience it so much. Our daughters didn't experience it so much. And so now we have an opportunity to say, okay, well, this is really important to me. And I'm going to take all this love that I feel for my daughter, for all daughters, sisters, mothers, and I'm going to work toward a greater opportunity and safety and all of those things for women.
Right, right. And Sherry, I think luckily it's something I feel like I have done a lot with already. So I feel, and that now even more wanting to help in these different, you know, with women's rights and then environmental and all of this. But I think what's really hurting me even more, and maybe you just kind of answered it, but when I'm really woken up in the middle of the night with this just tears of disappointment, is that how I comfort myself by saying, okay, well, I'm going to continue to do the steps I know I'm right and support the things that ring true to me? Is that's what I don't usually experience this such extreme disappointment, and it's taking me by surprise, actually. I didn't realize how much it actually meant.
Well, you know, Estelle, I think part of it, and this is where it gets really woo, you know, we're in the spiritual realm now. Okay.
Yes. Sure.
That the disappointment can be that we have to face what is true.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That and it's human and it's understandable that we would just, you know, it couldn't. Why can't things just be easy?
Yeah. Yeah, and it never, this particular issue never felt like it was going to be easy, but it felt like this was this special thing that was about to change, and
yes. Yes, that's it. That's it right there. That's it right there. And, you know, again, without going to any places of self-hate about it, if we had a woman president in this country, a big part for women would be, you know, it's kind of like having an African-American for president. Oh,
right.
Well, okay, well then race issues are over. You know, it's like we've crossed some sort of line. Oh, well, thank God that's behind us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, no.
No,
it hasn't. And so, again, I think a lot of that disappointment for us is, it is hard, and darn, I'm going to have to show up.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And I, again, you know, that's what makes this such a beautiful opportunity for us, right? Because we do have to show up in a way that we didn't have to show up a week ago.
Right.
We do. And it's our best opportunity. Again, if we choose love. If we don't, then it is not our best spiritual opportunity, right? Which is why I want to keep talking about, yes, we do what our hearts call us to do from love. Not hating anybody, not angry at anything, just finding those places of ignorance and delusion in ourselves and wanting to root them out. And the best way to do that is to choose our hearts and go forward.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, well, Sherry, thank you so much. And Ashwini.
You are so welcome.
I'm so happy you're doing this, and I'm excited to spend my lunchtime on the East Coast. So happy to spend lunch with you guys for the next while. So,
well, it's lovely having you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Estella. And that is our time, Sherry, but I thought I would end with a quote. It said, this is from Teresa of Avila.
Uh-huh.
Then what does spiritual progress mean, we want to ask? And the answer is, for my own part, I believe that love is the measure of our ability to bear crosses.
Wow.
And maybe we can look at that tomorrow.
Yes. Would you read it again, or say it again, Ashwini?
Love is a measure of how much we love is our ability to bear crosses.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, that is definitely what we're looking at, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thank you, everybody. And, yes, please be with us tomorrow if you can. Take very good care of yourself and take care of one another, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Sherry.